Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 97. Unexpected, this is. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, we have the Obi-Wan Kenobi to my Count Dooku. We have Carl LeClaire.
Oh, no, Jason, you're the bad guy. Makes sense. You do like Phantom Menace more than Empire.
And that Joe will never forgive me for.
No, he won't. Good to be back. Last episode was a lot of fun having Jackson on. We haven't had a guest in a long time. And he was great. It was great having him. And somebody so young, too. What a fresh perspective. The kid knew his stuff, too. Holy crap.
He did.
Such a dummy the whole episode. So, I mean, obviously, I've admitted.
And he definitely had a really neat perspective on our Lariat Inquiry, too. So yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really, really glad that Jackson was on last episode. Jason, I'm glad I can look at you this time. Because obviously, when we do Skype calls with more than two people, we can't see each other. And that's a little bit sad.
So. Yeah, it's because the video doesn't work for more than two people unless you want to pay for it. And being as how Carl and I are not particularly wealthy personages, we don't pay for that.
Well, if you're Count Dooku, you technically are quite rich because you're the Count of Sereno.
Yes, well, my funds are better suited for funding the Separatist Alliance rather than dealing with Skype.
Oh my goodness, Jason! We had this is probably the quickest turnaround we've had in a while with both recording as well as I think especially with a matchup. Because we were talking last time that we probably weren't even going to discuss the matchup till the next episode because of the quick turnaround between these episodes. But we got like 14 responses, I think you said.
Yeah.
The matchup was this was an in-universe matchup. If Obi-Wan Kenobi had teamed up with Yoda at the end of Revenge of the Sith and they both took on Sidious, who would have won? So we got some awesome Larian responses. Jason, I'll let you take it away.
Yes, and this matchup was inspired by a post Bethany Blanton posted on the Star Wars Reports Facebook page about a week or two ago. So
I think she was I think she was sitting next to Steve Glosson when she wrote it. So
probably not. Because Steve was always like, I get to sit next to Bethany, and I never did. anyways. on to the matchup. On Facebook, Kenny Crayley Jr. says, Yoda and Obi-Wan together would win. Roger Peroni, I'd say that Obi-Wan and Yoda would win. Yoda almost won in episode 3, and if Obi-Wan was there, he would be sure to have beat him. Brian V. Klein says, I think that the combined strength of Yoda, Wan, would emerge victorious over Papa Palpatine. And boy, would it be entertaining to watch. I agree, it would. Matthew Figueroa. I'm sorry, I totally butchered that name, and I know it's not. I couldn't get my tongue to... Anyways. he says that they, Obi-Wan and Yoda, would have won. Jimmy Phillips says, I think that the combined Obi-Wan and Yoda would win. I always had this gut feeling that if allowed to continue, Yoda's fight with Palpatine in Revenge of the Sith would have ended with the Emperor's defeat. Sartaj Sin, I'm sorry, I'm butchering names again. Anyways, he says, I disagree with the consensus so far. I think that Palpatine would win because he would taunt Obi-Wan mercilessly, and this would have affect his performance. Not only will his role as mentor be taken to task, but his relationship with Anakin would be used as a central point for undermining, which ultimately caused Obi-Wan to become very angry and sloppy in fighting. As for Yoda, he will either be helping to calm Kenobi during the fight or be determined in taking down Lord Sidious that his vision elsewhere becomes blocked, which could be a disadvantage in fighting and ultimately trying to defeat the Lord of the Sith. Mark Herleman says, the Sith would be like, the only two there are? Jedi enough to stop me. A combination team would have worked, in my opinion. Tag team Sidious then addressed Anakin. Paul Gann says, Palpatine would win. He made quick work of those who tried to arrest him and then toyed with Mace. Travis Magruder says, I don't think he toyed with Mace at all. He got his trash kicked. I also think Yoda could have beaten Palpatine on his own, but Palpatine's line at their meeting was true. Yoda was blinded by arrogance. No one's at the top of their game all the time. But directly to the question, though, I think Palpatine would stand a really good chance of winning. Obi-Wan could not take him, and he'd end up being a liability and possibly a casualty that would only distract Yoda, as he was in his two movie encounters with Dooku. Jeffrey Beaumont says, sad to say, but Sith over Jedi. Sidious is too strong. Cody Murphy. Had Obi-Wan and Yoda caught Sidious early on in Palpatine's chancellorship, yes. They're both the best swordsmen of their kind. However, on the day of Palpatine's coronation as Emperor and the dark side on the Ascendant, there was nothing that could stop him, especially on the dark side version of Christmas. So Sidious for the win. And this was a tough one because Obi-Wan is my favorite Jedi, followed closely by Yoda, and Palpatine is my favorite bad guy. Y'all are pitting all I love about Star Wars against each other. Anthony Markham says Sidious. Yoda's final vision in the Clone Wars in Season 6 was prophetic. I feel Yoda knew that in a tag team fight, if Obi-Wan were in jeopardy, Yoda himself would help his comrade and all would be lost. Sidious just demolished a trio of masters, and he would have laid the smackdown on Ace too if Anakin hadn't come, in my opinion. Yoda made the choice knowing he'd likely lose the battle but win the war, training the one who would balance the Force and defeat the Empire. Nice bringing in the Clone Wars there for that. And Gerhard Kreuwagen says, Sidious would have gone down, son. And then finally we got an email from our buddy Lenny, who says, if it were Yoda and Kenobi versus Palpatine, I still say Palpatine. While Kenobi is powerful, he is not Yoda or Mace Windu, who are probably the only two Jedi who can match Palpatine's skill. Palpatine would simply use Kenobi to his advantage by injuring but not killing him, so even if Yoda is willing to sacrifice Obi-Wan to save the Republic, it will still take away some of Yoda's focus, therefore tipping the scales in Palpatine's favor. This may not be exactly what happens, but it should be something similar, since Palpatine is the master of using tactical knowledge to tip the scales toward him if he faces an equal opponent, such as Windu. And that gives us a final Larian tally of 7 for Obi-Wan and Yoda, and 7 for Darth Sidious. So, Carl, wow. We are tied at this point.
That's crazy.
What
but
do
I don't like
you
it.
Say?
I have two different responses, so I'm going to make you decide. Here's my. If we're going by the novel, I give it to Sidious hands down, because if you read the Revenge of the Sith novel, Yoda gets owned the whole time. I mean, yeah, like Yoda's a great Jedi and he's an incredible Jedi master, but the point is that Yoda has never allowed himself to evolve much in the past 100-odd years since the last Sith War, really. Whereas Sidious has. He's become a far different type of Sith Lord. And he just overpowers Yoda very easily. So if we're going with Sidious based on the novel, I think he wipes the floor with them. Maybe not wipes the floor with them, but he easily wins. If we're going based on the movie, I really do think that Sidious probably would have lost to Obi-Wan and Yoda. Although, I don't know, Yoda and Obi-Wan fighting together, they have such distinctly different types of fighting styles. I don't know that Yoda's fighting style goes well with somebody else's. I feel like all his little flips and moving so quickly, I feel like he'd be in Obi-Wan's way too. So I don't know. I mean, again, based on the book, I definitely give it to Sidious. Based on the movie, I say it's really close. You know what? Heck with that. I'll be consistent. I still give it to Sidious. Because I think Yoda was smart enough to know to send Obi-Wan away, right? Like he says, I'm trying to remember the line, like an advantage we might create or something like that.
I'm blanking on it too, but yeah. He also says that Obi-Wan isn't powerful enough to face Sidious.
Right.
So.
Right, exactly. But if they split up, they might create a different type of opportunity. So I think even based on Yoda's logic was, if I can't do this on my own, there's no way Obi-Wan's little extra help is going to help. So I think I got to give it to Sidious all around. So what say you?
As much as it pains me, I am going to have to agree with you, and agree with some of the Arlarians who wrote in some in-depth responses about it. I think Sidious, especially at this point in Revenge of the Sith, is nearly unstoppable, you know, and with just the amount of dark side energy, the amount that he is steeped in the glory of his dark side ascendance at this point, I don't think he could lose, unfortunately. I think it could be close, and I think, you know, he might be a little arrogant, but just the sheer overwhelming pervasiveness of the dark side, not only is it giving Palpatine Sidious strength, but I think that it's also damping down on the clarity of mind of the Jedi, and would be sort of like a filter or a fog around them, and they wouldn't be at the top of their ability either, which is what I think kind of happened in Revenge of the Sith with Yoda and Palpatine to begin with anyways. So I think that combined with the use of, you know, injuring them to cause the other to lose focus, I think ultimately Sidious would win. I think it would be close, but I think he would pull it out at that point particularly, because of just the ascendance of the dark side at that time. So that will give us a final tally. You and I tipped the scales here, Carl. A final tally of 9 for Sidious and 7 for Obi-Wan and Yoda. So,
close one.
It's a close one. And I'm so shocked that we had a tie right before it got to us.
I know.
That was so close.
I know it. You know, just quickly want to address, you know, I noticed a lot of the people that wrote in mentioned, you know, how, you know, Sidious had a tough time with Mace Windu. I don't think he had a tough time with Mace Windu at all. I think that was totally a ploy, because he knew Anakin would be on his way.
Now
maybe Mace Windu and Yoda against Sidious might have been a different story.
Yeah.
Although, because Mace Windu is probably just one step above Obi-Wan, maybe two steps. But yeah, no, I don't really think Mace Windu really beats Palpatine. I mean, Palpatine lets himself be beat. You know, that's the thing. He's using this as a ploy to pull in Anakin. I don't think he would have had any problem beating Mace Windu if he had to on his own. So
yeah. I think Mace Windu managed to get a quick shot in with the kick to the face and making him lose the lightsaber. I don't think that was planned by Palpatine.
Right.
But he took advantage of the situation because Anakin was so close. So, I think it was, you know, more evenly matched, but I do agree. I think Sidious was more just reveling in the fact that, you know, he was finally able to do this and that he knew Anakin was coming. And so he was drawing it out, to wait for that. Whew. All right. Well, we've got a poll for the end of the show, so stick around for that. But we've got a neat topic here, and you came up with the idea for this topic.
I did.
So why don't you explain it before we get into it?
Okay. So I was watching Star Wars: A New Hope with a friend of mine 2 weekends ago. He has never seen a Star Wars movie in his life. It's kind of funny. I was talking about this on Know What I'm Saying with Steve, actually, our last episode. And it's really funny because you seldom meet anybody who hasn't seen at least, you know, a Star Wars movie or knows a little bit about it. And actually what was really cool is my friend doesn't know Darth Vader is Luke's father. Like, he literally doesn't know that. Like, at one point, because, you know, like, that part when Luke's, like, asking about his father and stuff, he turns to me and goes, "Who is his father?" And I was like, "You don't know?" He goes, no, like, they haven't told us, right? And I was like, well, no, not yet. And I go, but you don't know this? And he goes, no. He goes, I don't have a clue. He goes, why? Do we get to meet him? And I was like, yeah, sort of. You'll see. Like, he literally doesn't – I can't wait to watch Empire with him. Because even if you've never seen a Star Wars movie, most people at least know just culturally Darth Vader was Luke's father.
Right.
And I'm sure – you know what I think, though, is I think he probably – like, if I said to him, like, no, I am your father, like, he'd probably be like, oh, that's from Star Wars, right? But I don't think he knows the context. So
– wow. I know. Has you seen Empire yet?
No, we haven't watched that yet. It took me almost 2 years to get him to watch A New Hope. He told me he really wants to watch Empire soon, but I guarantee it's at least a couple months. The way things work with this run. But anyway, when we were watching it, I don't know, I was just kind of paying attention to the reality of just like how these unexpected things happen to our two main protagonists in Star Wars, you know, Anakin and Luke. And again, their stories are meant to be somewhat mirrors of one another. Whereas one is, you know, the hero's journey, one is the tragic journey. But really just looking at these, like, these unexpected interruptions in their life. For Anakin, it's the, you know, it's the showing up of Qui-Gon and the group. And for Luke, it's the showing up of the droids. And just kind of how they respond to this unexpected invitation, essentially. And I just thought this would be really cool to kind of talk about, especially because we just did, like, a little... you know, a couple like scenes about, you know, Anakin and Vader. And I know we've kind of done stuff like this in the past, but hey, we've been doing this for almost 3 years, 97 episodes. Like, we can rehash some things. I think it's allowed. I just thought it'd be fun to look at these particular instances, you know, with Anakin in episode 1 and Luke in episode 4 and how they kind of respond to these unexpected things in their lives. Because I think that's really cool. You know, oftentimes when we start something new and exciting, it's usually because it just kind of falls into our lap, you know? And I was also thinking about it in the context too, because my friend is, you know, he and his girlfriend are like so happy right now. They've been together for a while, but it was something that happened very unexpectedly for both of them. And it's just like, it got me thinking about that. It got me thinking about Star Wars, of course. And just kind of like, how do we respond to these, you know, these unexpected occurrences in our lives? And it's really cool to look at both Anakin's and Luke's, and they have somewhat similar responses, but there are some, I think like some really neat differences. So I figured maybe we can just talk a little bit about each of this, you know, each of the instances, and then maybe kind of compare and contrast a little bit. And don't worry, I'll lead the way. I kind of like threw Jason under the X-wing here. I just rewatched, you know, these bits and pieces today from Phantom Menace and A New Hope. By the way, I've never done this before, Jason. It's kind of cool to like watch a little bit of Phantom Menace and then immediately take out the Blu-ray and put in A New Hope. And you still, like, just the difference in picture is still ridiculous. You know, I mean, it's 19 years difference. No, more than that, geez. But, you know, I mean, yeah. Like, the original trilogy looks awesome on Blu-ray. But just still, there's just like such a crispness to the PT, because obviously they're newer movies.
Right.
I'd never done that before. I was like, wow, this is like markedly different.
even on Blu-ray.
Yeah, even on Blu-ray. I mean, the pictures are both great, but it's just sharper. You know what I mean? Like, everything is just so sharp and crystal clear. But, you know, with Anakin's response, I think what's important is he's much younger. I mean, he's basically half of Luke's age.
Yeah.
I mean, he's supposed to be 9 or 10. Luke's, you know, 19 or 20. Right there's obviously going to be a huge difference. But Anakin's response, like when he finds out that he's been freed and Qui-Gon tells him he's free now, he doesn't immediately say, like, come with me to be a Jedi. But I love Shmi's response. She turns to him and says, is he to come with you? Is he to become a Jedi? And he says, yes, you know. And she turns to Anakin and says, now he can make all your dreams come true. I think that's really cool, because this is like, it's a very childlike response to it, right? Like, he's had these dreams of becoming a Jedi. It's what I've always dreamed of. Like, he's just like this little boy who's told he gets to do this really cool, fun thing. I mean, it's like if you said to a little kid, like, hey, you want to like dress up as Batman and go, you know, beat up criminals tonight? They'd be like, heck yeah. But then it's like, if you actually made them do that, they'd be killed. Like, you know?
Right.
But it's like Anakin's response is just, but it's this, like, I remember when we did our Phantom Menace texting commentary together, Jason, like a year ago, or not even a year ago, but, and we both commented on the fact that something I really liked, and I know you did as well, is the innocence of the Phantom Menace, of all the characters. specifically Anakin and even Jar Jar, obviously. But, you know, there's this cute innocence to Anakin, that he's just so excited that this is going to happen for him. He doesn't think about like all the intricacies. I mean, Qui-Gon says, you know, to become a Jedi is not an easy challenge. And even if you succeed, it's a hard life. You know, he's putting it right out there for Anakin. Like, yeah. This won't be easy.
This is not simple. This is not going to happen overnight. And Anakin's like, well, I want to do it. You know, he's like, okay, that's nice. Let's go. You know, there's an innocence there that really doesn't seem to quite, you know, sink in with the situation and how difficult it could be. He's so innocent and eager about it that the difficulty while he's being told about it just it doesn't sink in as to what that all entails.
Yeah.
To him. So you know, whereas, you know, I'm gonna just skip ahead slightly, whereas Anakin in The Phantom Menace is purely innocent, you know, almost, it seems, in his approach to this unexpected thing happening. Luke is less innocent but more naive, I think.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, and, you know, that might come with age, but...
And also, Anakin's had a harsher life, if you think about it. I mean, he's a slave. They've both had a tough life on the same tough planet, but very different,
yeah.
You know, very different types of a way of being. At least Luke has a sense of freedom, right? Like,
right.
He feels bound there, but he's not literally enslaved the way Anakin is.
Right, right. Yeah, Anakin's got that... that thing that shapes so much of who he ends up becoming, you know, later on as Darth Vader, is this feeling of being a slave. And, you know, that comes back to haunt him as he's, you know, training to be a Jedi. But, you know, this is not only literal freedom for him, but this is, you know, freedom to live his dreams that he's been having, because I'm sure those dreams has been what's getting him through the day. You know, most day is, you know, as he's working in Watto's junk shop and things like that. Whereas Luke is literally free, but his dreams of going off on adventure seem to be enslaved.
Yeah.
By his situation. You know, yeah. So it's kind of almost the flip situation with the two of them, but not quite.
Right. Yeah, you know, and with Anakin too, you know, I like that you mentioned the fact that, you know, it's almost like his dream is what keeps him going, right? Like the dream of becoming a Jedi as he's busy doing this thing. Makes me think of like historically, like, you know, the African Americans that were enslaved in our country. That's where you got all these like famous spirituals and you know, that music and stuff.
Right.
Because it was a way in which to at least in some way make their plight a little bit more enjoyable. Anakin has been living that dream out in his head, I'm sure, for a long time.
Right.
And now he's faced with the fact that he can make it real. And of course, like, again, there's that youthful innocence that just says, absolutely, I want to do this. And one little side note, I really like the line Qui-Gon says, you know, when Shmi asks, like, is he to come with you? Is he going to become a Jedi? You know, Qui-Gon says, yes, you know, nothing happens by coincidence. I like that. I like that Qui-Gon is putting it into the perspective of the Force, right? Like, he's making it very real that this didn't just happen. You know, there is a bigger picture. There is a bigger force, literal force here, that's at work, that's making this come about. So for Qui-Gon, he sees this, you know, as something very particular in Anakin, but it's going to have this huge galactic impact. You know, Qui-Gon's ship was damaged purely by on purpose, so that the Force could make him wind up here and find Anakin. So I think that was really cool, because again, it kind of puts it into that perspective of, you know, while it's certainly unexpected for Qui-Gon to meet him, it's completely unexpected for Anakin to meet him and then become free. Qui-Gon puts it in this perspective, though, of while it's unexpected for us, there's something bigger
happening.
Yeah, there's something bigger here going on. So it always makes me – one of my favorite lines in the Gospel of Luke is when, you know, Mary finds out she's going to give birth to Jesus, and the angel Gabriel says nothing is impossible for God. You know, it's a big theme in the Gospel of Luke of how, you know, even these weird, unexpected things that you wouldn't think could happen, they're not impossible for this bigger force. So
right.
Sorry, I made it biblical. But
no, you're not. You're not sorry at all.
But yeah, so you know, I think it's like we've mentioned before. I mean, Anakin's response is just extremely like wide-eyed child, like holy mm-hmm. crap, I get to do this. And then you know the very next scene he's like, he turns C-3PO on, well, 3PO, I get to go away in a starship. Like it's exactly. I think Jake Lloyd does a really good job in these scenes. I mean, because he's a kid and he's supposed to be a kid, so he nails it.
Right,
you know, but there is just like this like whoosh, like you can see the stars in his eyes, like he's so excited.
Right. Yeah, there's, you know, this is like his dream come true, his golden ticket out of here, you know, that sort of thing. This is everything he hoped it would be and more, and he's so excited and, you know, has no idea what's coming.
Right.
You know, as, you know, callous as that may be, but yeah, it's, oh, I had a point and I forgot it. Dang it. It'll come back to me. It but was. Yeah.
Well, and you know, and I think, you know, for Anakin, his initial response is, heck yes, I want to do this. I can't wait. I'm so excited. These are going to make my dreams come true. But it's not until he's literally physically leaving that the hesitation comes up. Like, whoa. I mean, he does bring it up earlier, too. He says, well, what about mom? You know, is she coming, too? Qui-Gon right. makes it clear. Nope, she's still, unfortunately, he couldn't free her. She's still going to be here as a slave. You know, that, and then that brings up Anakin's hesitation, right? Like, he thinks, like, oh, absolutely, I can't wait to do this. This is going to be great. Mom will probably be there cheering me on the sidelines, right? But then when it be, then the reality sets in that, no, this is something you're going to have to do on your own, in a sense. I mean, yeah, he's not on his own. Like, he's got Qui-Gon, he'll have Jedi around him, but his mother has been his support his entire life.
Right.
So he's going to have to let go of that in order to do this.
And then he is forced to make the choice to either leave his mother and go chase his dreams or give up his dreams and stay with his mother. He, at, you know, 9-10 years old, has to make that choice.
Yeah.
And that's a big choice on a kid like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a big choice that most people don't have to make till they're like 17, 18 years old.
Right. Exactly. You know, going off to college and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But
right.
it's interesting because Luke has a similar choice that he has to make too. You know, he's, you know, Obi-Wan is asking him, you know, you must learn the ways of the Force if you had to come with me to Alderaan. And Luke's like, whoa,
Alderaan? I'm not going to Alderaan. I got to stay here. It's late. I'm in for it as it is.
Exactly. He's, you know, he's mentally chained, you know, mm-hmm. to Tatooine. And so he's got to stay with the family and help take care of the farm. And that this is too good to be true. He can't just up and leave. He's got responsibilities and that sort of thing. But then the choice is taken away from him.
Yep.
By circumstances.
Right.
And that sends him on his way. You know, so Luke is presented with the choice and he doesn't make it. The choice is made for him. Whereas Anakin is presented with his choice, and then he has to make it. That's, you know, two totally different ways to approach the situation. Anakin, you know, is then probably haunted by the guilt of, well, should I have stayed? Did I make the right choice? You know, as he gets older and starts, you know, missing his mother and things like that. You know, did I make the right choice? Am I doing the right thing? This is harder than I thought it would be. Whereas Luke doesn't have anything to fall back on with that. So they're yeah. similar situations, but, you know, slightly different in the way that the circumstances approach these characters. So,
yeah. And I like, you know, I mean, I like how you present the fact that, you know, Anakin does, he has a choice to leave and make his dreams come true, but leave his mother behind, or stay here and just continue the life of a slave. A freed slave as a slave, I guess, you know.
Right.
But, gosh, this really just has me thinking of something from the book of Deuteronomy. Can I say it?
Yes, go ahead.
So when the Israelite people who have been wandering in the desert for 40 years after being freed from slavery in Egypt, they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River, and Moses basically says, the choice is before you. Do you choose life or death? So, right, like, do they stay where it's comfortable, even though it's not, like, the best circumstance? Or do they make the, you know, do they make the step into the unknown where it's kind of dangerous, but where there's a richer form of life? And that's kind of what's going on with Anakin here. And you can't make the choice for somebody. Like, Qui-Gon can't make that choice for him. His mother, you know, Shmi is very clear about that. Like, you know, the decision is up to you. You and you alone can make this decision. And Anakin does. I mean, Anakin has that hesitation. But he ultimately does what Luke couldn't do. And he makes the tougher choice to be like, yeah, I really want to do this. I'm going to do it. However, he leaves and takes all that guilt with him. And obviously that's going to be, you know, detrimental to his future.
Right.
You know, whereas in a sense, Luke, his freedom is in a different way. Like, Anakin is literally freed from slavery. Luke, when you know, Beru and Owen are killed, he is freed from any obligation, though. Like, there's nothing to feel guilty about here, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, Anakin makes the tougher decision quicker. And I think, again, that's steeped in the fact that he is still just a boy. And he is still starry-eyed and googly-eyed. And his mother is so supportive, too, though, right? I mean, like, Shmi is the perfect mother in the sense that she gives him the courage to go. She doesn't want him to feel guilty. She's, you know, don't look back. She's making it very clear it's okay to go. You know, I mean, a lot of mothers would be like, oh, man, I'm really going to miss you, right? Like, they would harp on what they're going to be missing.
Right.
Whereas she's saying, go make your dreams come true.
Right. Go live a better life.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
It's just the similarities between these two choices are there, but you know, there's these subtle differences that it just makes it really interesting to look at and compare. Do we want to move over to Luke and
in depth? Yeah, you know, with Luke, you know, again, it's a similar choice, you know. Luke's immediate response is, you know, I can't. I've got things to do. He immediately starts. He has a list of why he can't. He has all of these excuses. And I think that's the more common response when something unexpected comes up, something unexpected and exciting, but also a little bit dangerous, a little bit frightening.
Yeah.
You know,
it opens a whole new world of possibilities. And, you know, he's sort of, you know, we meet him and he's, you know, starry-eyed in the sense that he is dreaming of adventure, but he feels bound to help his aunt and uncle. And there's a specific way that he's getting off this planet. He's going to go off to the academy and learn to become a starship pilot, and that's how he's going to leave and go on these adventures. That's his plan, and that's how this is all going to work. But then the droids show up and he finds the message in R2 from Princess Leia, and then he's sent out and has to go find Obi-Wan. And this is, you know, these are circumstances that he's not instigating, but that he has to, you know, keep going and fulfilling. And then finally Obi-Wan gives him this opportunity to go off planet and rescue the princess with him. And it doesn't follow the plan that Luke had in his head.
Yeah.
You know, because he has to make sure that Owen and Beru are okay and taken care of, and that he's not leaving them in the lurch. But, you know, he's also had this other idea of how he's getting off. And it's this situation is not going by the book.
Yeah.
He wants the adventure, but he wants it in the way that he's been envisioning it.
Right.
And so
he wants it on his own terms, right?
Exactly.
Like, I want it, but this is how I want it. Exactly. Follow this script. I'll do it if it goes like this.
Exactly. And it's not.
Yeah.
and then, of course, you know, so he makes the decision to just, you know, give Obi-Wan the lift to Anchorhead and, you know, that's it. But then, right then, is where things change. They find the job of a sandcrawler, and then he sees that his aunt and uncle are dead and burned to a crisp, and now he has no other choice,
right,
to go on this adventure. And so, you know, he may have a little bit of guilt for not being there to help his aunt and uncle out when the stormtroopers showed up, but as Obi-Wan said, you would have been killed too. and the droids to be in the hands of the Empire. So,
just so everybody knows, when Jason goes into his Alec Guinness voice, he just like all of a sudden his face changes. It becomes a Force ghost of Alec Guinness. It's kind of crazy. Luke again, he has these just like Anakin did, you know, these boyish desire for fun and adventure and this exciting life and in a sense being the hero. But his planned route up until the droid show up is to like enter the academy. Obviously he wants to, you know, sneak out of the academy and join the Alliance. By the way, you know, that was something that I think I'd watched A New Hope for years before I finally realized, like, I thought Luke, when he says to, you know, Owen, this is a side note, by the way, you know, like, I want to go to the academy this year. I always just assumed he was talking about like joining the rebellion, but it's like, no. He's talking about the Imperial Academy.
Right.
And then, cause most of the, like, that's what Biggs did. He joined that and then jumped ship into the, you know, the rebellion. Cause that's the easiest way to do it, I guess. So I think that was neat. But anyway, you know, Luke has this idea of how he wants to become, this adventurer. But then these droids show up and everything is totally different. And he's immediately drawn in. I mean, he's so excited, you know, if the rebellion against the Empire, I mean, he gets so excited. And when he meets Obi-Wan, I mean, obviously they've interacted a few times before, but you know, he has Obi-Wan's clearly having his first real conversation with Luke, because this is also unexpected for Obi-Wan in a sense. You know, right, Obi-Wan has been a hermit for 19 years, and now all of a sudden, you know, this young woman shows up who he knows very well who she is, but basically says, hey, we need your help. It's for real this time.
Exactly.
You know, Obi-Wan's also, I think, forced in a sense to kind of hit fast forward on the plans as well a bit. Like, okay, it's time to make the invite. Luke, you need to come with me to Alderaan. I'll train you to become a Jedi. And then the excuses start. Like, Luke is just, he's not ready. Even though he wants it so badly, he is bound. You know, like you've said so many times, he is enslaved to his obligations.
He doesn't think he's ready. Right. You know, he doesn't feel like he's up to the challenge, which is the way I think it is for most of us. You know, we don't think that we're able to take on the adventure. Mm-hmm. Like the challenge or whatever it is, and we don't know until we're thrown in the middle of it without, you know, whether or not we'll sink or swim. So,
yeah. And I like Luke's response too, because it's very real of like, nope, I can't, but here's why at least. Like, let me give you some of my excuses. And I think that is a very, like you just said, it's a very common thing when these sorts of opportunities present themselves to us. A lot of times we shy away because we have so many excuses.
It's funny though. Luke makes the excuse and Obi-Wan calls him on it. He says, that's your uncle talking.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He calls Luke on it. He's like, that's not you.
Right.
That's your excuse.
Right.
You know, he's,
yeah. Yeah. Obi-Wan is inviting him
of course
to become his true self in a sense. You know, he's been raised in such a way that, there's certain things he has to do because that's the way he was raised. That's the way he thinks life works. So when something runs counter to that, it's intimidating. It's scary. So no, I can't do this right now. Mm-hmm. He channels his inner Owen, you know? I love that. I mean, I think that's a very, very real response for a lot of people is, it's easy to get intimidated by this choice and therefore we just make excuses as to why we can't do it.
Right. Right. But then of course the choice is made for him and he's sent on his merry way.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, again, you know, I mentioned this with talking about, you know, the stuff in Phantom Menace where Qui-Gon makes it very clear that this is part of a bigger plan, that there's something bigger at work here. It's really not until the death of Beru and Owen that we see that the Force is also active here. Now, I don't mean that to imply that, you know, the Force was at work making sure the stormtroopers found Beru and Owen and murdered them and made sure Luke was not home, right? Like, I don't think it's that.
Right.
But again, it's capitalizing on this opportunity. They aren't, you know, they're no longer alive. This sucks. But now you have that freedom to go make, you know, make something so much more of yourself. And I think that's that again, like, I think for me, that's what puts it into context. The fact that the Force is working is it's taking this horrible tragedy that's happened to Luke and turning it on its head and saying, nope, there's something else that can be done now. But that's what Luke needed. Luke needed to have the freedom from his parental figures. In a sense, you know, you could even contrast, you know, Owen and Beru with Shmi. Beru obviously seems to be supportive of Luke leaving, but Owen is clearly not. He's just, he really needs Luke's help. And I think he's obviously clearly afraid that he'll become like his father.
Right. Or we'll run into Vader and Vader will figure out what's going on.
Right. And I, you know, Owen is over parenting, whereas Shmi was parenting. So Luke, when, you know, Beru and Owen are killed, Luke finally realizes, obviously, yes, now I can go because my obligations here are gone. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, and I think it's, you know, symbolically for ourselves, I think it's important that we kind of burn away those things that, you know, try to prevent us from taking the adventure. It doesn't mean that don't kill somebody. That's not the implication. But, you know, I think, you know, when I was just watching that scene again, you know, a few hours ago, it is like the way they shoot that scene, it is kind of violent. I mean, it's kind of gory in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all this smoke, everything's burned up, and then these, you know, disgustingly charred remains of human bodies. I mean, it's so sad.
They're like tumbled out on the edge of the stairs, yeah, over the barrel, and it's like...
It's like they were trying to get away.
Yeah, but they couldn't.
Yeah. And, you know, Luke sees this and realizes that this is devastating, yet at the same time, it's an opportunity, right? Like, again, it's not to say that, like, oh, yay, this happened, but it's like, this is awful, this happened, but now I can do something more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, again, that to me, one of the primary differences then between Anakin and Luke, again, it's mostly summed up in the fact of the age difference. Anakin is so young that this is extremely exciting. He's going to do it. Even though he obviously does find, you know, some hesitations, he pursues it because it's what he really wants. Whereas Luke needs something bigger to kind of step in and kind of force him to make that choice. I don't mean force. Again, it's not like it's forced upon him, but Luke is not as ready as Anakin to jump into it.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, Luke is naive to the, you know, the galaxy at large, but he is less innocent than Anakin was. You know, he knows that there's other things out there that he has to be, you know, responsible for. Whereas Anakin is so innocent in his approach to this thing that he is able to quickly, at that young age, make the decision to go out on this adventure, where Luke, less innocent, but in a sense, I think, more naive, doesn't want to make that choice because he has responsibilities and he doesn't want to let those, you know, responsibilities slip.
Yeah.
No, of course, he's clinging to that as like a security blanket to protect him from, you know, what might happen if he does go on this adventure, you know. But it's interesting, you know, both of them end up going on the adventure. They end up leaving, taking the unexpected and going with it. And then, of course, they both have a very similar thing in their ability to save the day at the end of the day. You know, Luke blows up the Death Star, Anakin blows up the droid control ship, and they save the day. They save the day for, you know, their respective situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of further cementing that they made the right choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whereas Luke is able to accept that and is able to, you know, grieve for his aunt and uncle and then move on, Anakin still has this lingering attachment, this lingering doubt about his mother, because she's still alive and she's still a slave and he hasn't yet gone back and freed her.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean,
you know, Anakin is having this great time. He's saved the day. This is exactly what he should be doing. But Mom's not there to see it and to enjoy it, and she's still struggling and suffering.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Luke has nothing he has to look back for anymore. He can just continue to look forward. Whereas Anakin is unable to always look forward. He's constantly checking over his shoulder because of his mother, because of his inability to let go of that attachment. And obviously, you know, as we've talked about in the last couple episodes, that's going to eventually lead to his downfall. Whereas Luke is able to continue to grow. And I really like that point, Jason, of the actions at both of those films kind of do it. It makes it very concrete that they made the right choice, that they do really have something immense to offer to the galaxy. And while they made a very difficult choice, they clearly have made the right choice.
And, you know, obviously in what George Lucas is doing is giving us two very similar hero's journey stories. You know, obviously some of the details and circumstances are changed up, but the story is very similar. And then in the subsequent films, we get to see how Anakin's fear of loss and led to him falling to the dark side, whereas Luke was able to keep moving forward in becoming a Jedi. So it's interesting, you know, while the circumstances may be slightly different, the initial reaction to the unexpected and the initial leaving are almost identical.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Although there's a few little nagging thoughts in the back of Anakin's mind about leaving that he still is concerned about. And that's ultimately what, you know, that's a seed that ultimately ends up blooming into this fear and into this, you know, all-consuming dread that ends up ultimately leading to his downfall.
Right. Yeah.
So.
And, you know, Luke would not have been able to make that choice to go unless Bru and Owen had been killed.
Right.
You know.
Or they gave him permission to go.
Right.
You know.
Which probably wouldn't have happened for Owen.
Especially if Obi-Wan was there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So again, you know, I thought this would be just a neat way to like look at how, you know, both of them responded to this very unexpected intrusion on their kind of everyday lives. And they both have to face the fact that this is going to be something difficult, but at the end of the day, it's what's best for them. And in essence, what's best for the galaxy.
Right.
You know, so anywho,
it'll be interesting to see if this situation is played out again in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And who it'll be played out for.
Right. Probably Han Solo.
Nah.
Just kidding.
I'm going to guess Daisy Ridley.
Yeah. That's where people are pointing their fingers so far.
Yeah.
So
we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it'll be important to have some sort of hero's journey again in the sequel trilogy. Because we had that with Anakin, with Luke.
That's part of the Star Wars formula. So.
Right, exactly. But before we go, we have a really cool Larian inquiry from Leon 355. Before we get to that, Jason, were you cool? Are you all set on the topic? Do you have any other closing thoughts?
No, I think we sort of wrapped that up really nicely. So and this one, Larian Inquiry came from Twitter, right?
Right. This is from Twitter. Leon 355. He says, do you think Luke knew he would not fall to his death after Vader declared he was his father? I'm going to say, I don't think Luke knew. I think Luke figured he was going to die. I don't think Luke had any idea that falling down this endless pit would be good for him, right? I think that's a very poignant part of the story too. I mean, if Luke had known, like, oh, I'll be okay, while that's still, like, he's still making the choice to renounce the dark side, renounce Darth Vader's invitation. Funny, he renounces this one. Good thing. I don't think I really think he thought he was going to die. But again, he's making the conscious choice here. I'd rather die than live as a Sith, right? Because that's a different form of being dead, in a sense. you know, I don't think Luke had a clue that he would survive that fall.
No.
And I think, again, that's such a it's such an important part of his character development up to that point in the story. It's very clear now, you know, especially after we see that scene in the cave, right, where he cuts off Vader's helmet and his face is there. It's very clear that he's not going to make that mistake, that Luke has made his decision. He's going to be a Jedi or die trying.
Right. Right. I'm going to agree with you completely. I think this was a final act of defiance. You know, this is, you know, the line right before he lets go is, you know, from Vader is, you know, join me. And together we rule the galaxy as father and son. You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, he looks over, looks back at Vader, and then he lets go and just falls. You know, this is an act of defiance, you know, an I'm not going to join you, sort of an act of, you know, rejection that, no, you can't be my father. And then an act of, I'm not going to let you win here. You're going to lose me. You all right over there?
Sorry, my mic fell.
and so he's, you know, while I think he believes he's about to die, but he will die knowing that he prevented Vader from turning him. And, you know, that's, you know, a small victory in and of itself. You know, he's denying Vader his victory, at the end. And obviously the Force had other ideas. So
sorry, that came through, didn't
it? You know,
it?
He ended up surviving and all that, and, you know, the series continued. But, I you know, especially, you know, if you, the more recent versions of the film with Luke not screaming, you know, cause that happened only in the special edition. They decided to cut that back out again, as he fell.
Thank God.
You know, that's much more, this is my decision and I'm going to go with it until, you know, to whatever end it takes me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank goodness they got rid of that scream. That was the most ridiculous change they made when they did the original special editions, you know, in 97.
Just yeah, didn't make any sense. Because they reused Palpatine's scream from Return of the Jedi as he was falling.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I think it's slightly changed up a little bit, but it's pretty much the same scream.
I didn't know that.
I think it's slightly doctored.
Okay. But, well, yeah, it makes sense because it doesn't sound just like him or anything. But
no, but I think that's where they got the scream from.
Okay.
So I could be wrong, but I think that's where that happened. Anywho.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, Luke got lucky. Yeah, because he definitely. That was not what he expected.
The Force was like, "No, you're not done."
So. Yeah, no, we're not done yet. We're going to suck you into this little hole and then you can call on your sister.
Exactly.
So, but thank you, Leon355. I'm going to guess your name is Leon. Could be wrong, but, that was a great question. So thank you.
Yes.
Jason, before we go, we do have a new poll.
We do. And this was a poll inspired by, a episode suggestion that we got, and this, oh goodness, we got two episode suggestions. This was from, give me 1 second, I think it was, yes, Brian Bailey sent us an email a couple days ago, wanting to, you know, suggest an episode for our top 5 planets or environments. And technically we've done that episode before. That was episode 7 of the Wampa's Lair, way back in the day. And if you want to catch that or any of our other episodes, you can go do that on StarWarsReport.com. Just go to the second Airborne Division tab and find the Wampa's Lair up there. But, you know, it was so long ago, we may want to revisit it someday. But
right.
In the meantime, we're going to turn the idea over to you guys. What is your favorite planet in Star Wars? That's going to be our new poll, and it can be any planet. I don't care if it's in movies, the EU, or the Clone Wars, or anything like that. Are you okay with that, Carl?
Yeah,
I think
that's fine.
We could open it up like that.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a favorite planet that's only in a video game, fine. You know, whatever. We'll included in here. So what is your favorite planet in Star Wars? And Carl and I will weigh in on that as well.
Yeah, I have a feeling Bithland is going to win. Land of the Biths.
Yes.
What's a Bith?
What's a Bith? Oh, man. Another one of Steve Lawson's C6 jokes. Anywho.
Yes.
But yes, we also had another episode suggestion by Lenny, who emailed in and was wanting to know our top tearjerker moments in Star Wars. And we have also kind of done that show as well. That was episode 33 back in the day, where we had – it was called Star Wars Emotional Roller Coaster, where we picked our top happiest scenes and top saddest scene from each film. And we – you know, so it wasn't all sad or everything. So
we should do an episode, though, sometime of just all our sad scenes. We can do it next time I get broken up with. Just give it some time. It'll happen.
But yeah, so, you know, it may be time to return to some of these thoughts that we had way back in the day, since, you know, we've gotten more Larians as time has gone by. But
yes,
it's, you know, for those of you that can't wait to for us to do that, if you want to, obviously go back to our archive there on StarWarsReport.com and check those out. So but any final thoughts before we wrap up this episode? Or first of all, if people want to respond to the poll,
yes,
or send in another Larian inquiry, or, you know, things of that nature, where can they do that, Mr. LeClaire?
They can do it on Facebook, facebook.com/WampusLairPodcast. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/WampusLair. And you can always send an email to WampusLairPodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, StarWarsReport.com, where you can find us as well as all the other really exciting Star Wars podcasts from the 2nd Airborne Division. So there's lots of places you can find us.
Indeed.
We're also located on Bithland.
Yes. Yes.
It's a reservation in the corner of Ato Gunga. It's a reservation for Beth's underwater.
And one last thing before we leave, like we've said at the beginning of the show, this is episode 97, and so we are only 3 episodes until we hit the big 100. So one of the things we want to do is we want to get everybody involved in celebrating that big milestone. So if you have the ability to record or email or something, just send us something in, you know, congratulations, or you know, your one of your favorite moments over the years from the Wampa's Lair, you know, something to celebrate us hitting the big 100 mark. You know, record something and email it in, or, you know, just email something in, and we'll find a way to get that all on the show. We're still working out some of the kinks for episode 100, but we want to have you guys included in the celebration of our 100th episode. So start thinking about that, and we'll make sure to plug that on episode 98 and 99 as well. So, but any final thoughts, Carl, before we wrap up this episode?
Just can't wait to get to episode 99 so we can get to the surprise.
I know.
It shall be excellent.
Yes. But in that case, that wraps up this episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. It's been episode number 97. Unexpected this is. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.
Unexpected this is. And unfortunate. be ready now.
Okay. So we're going to call this episode Unexpected This Is, or
Unexpected This Is, Unfortunate.